Welcome to the Sanctus NYC Message Podcast. We are the young adult community of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us today as we look to God to lead us into the fullness of the life that he has for us.
Just start by saying, when we get to this time of the year, for those of us who are not in a relationship, it can be a time where you just begin to start looking at your life, looking at the people around you, and the main question that you can just start feeling bouncing around your mind and maybe beginning to even torment you a little bit is, who loves me? Right? It's like you look around, you see other people in love, you see other people on dates, you hate them, and you just begin to start looking at your family. You look at people that you might be interested in that you're not in a relationship with. Maybe you feel tempted to make horrible decisions because you are just so aware of this thing in your heart of, I want to be loved, and I'm looking around, who here loves me? Right? I think when we look back at our life, probably some of the worst, lowest moments are times where we felt the least loved by the people around us who should be loving us or the world around us, right? Even right now, how the narrative that you believe about the solution to the existential dread that you might feel in certain moments in your life, maybe you are living with this hope and purpose of, one day I'm gonna find somebody who really loves me, and I'm just waiting till I get to that place. I'm gonna try to keep my eyes on Jesus until there, and I know Jesus satisfies me, but it's like when I get there, then for the most part, I'll still have issues, but I'll be good. A lot of us, I believe, the purpose and the meaning of our life is very much built around pursuing love. Whether it's relationships, whether it's even building something, building a career, doing something significant with your life so that the people around you can like love you and give validation to you, right? Like, this is one of the deepest longings, maybe the deepest longing of our soul. And so in a lot of ways, our purpose is very tied to finding where we can get it. So I wanna cut against that today in a time where a lot of our attention can just be put on who is loving me. This is one of the commandments that Jesus gives. He says earlier in a different place, puts it amongst the greatest commandments that there are, along with loving the Lord with your whole heart. But this specific verse I want to point to today. So let's put up the John 1. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So when we look at our lives, when we look at the hopes that we have, the scheming that we're doing about my purpose, my fulfillment, the thing that will bring meaning and satisfaction and joy to my life, is very much around just looking around, who here is gonna love me? Who loves me right now? Who can I get to love me by doing better and trying harder? What God is saying is, your purpose, the reason why you are here on earth and not in heaven yet, is of course, number one, to live in God, to live in his love. But the reason why he hasn't taken you yet, we say this verse all the time, he's made us new in Christ Jesus for good works that he's prepared for us. Your purpose on earth is to love people. The highest calling and obligation that is placed on you, the reason why you are not in heaven yet as a believer, is because there are things God wants to do in your heart, but there's people that he wants you to love. Put up that verse really quick from 1 John, that next one that we had. It says this, no one has ever seen God, But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So what this is saying is that our flourishing as people, not only is this the thing one day, if you're a Christian, you're going to stand before God and give an account for how you loved. That is what your life is going to be measured by. But it's not just this like dutiful obligation where it's like, I just have to live for other people and carry my cross and my life is going to be trash. What this is saying is living a life loving people is actually what allows you to live in experience of God. That it's not only your highest duty and obligation, it is the highest state of living that you can have. To live a life loving people, truly loving people, brings communion with the living God who you were made for. So my purpose and your purpose in life, the reason why we are not in heaven yet, is because God has called us to love people. Which people? All. Coworkers, baristas, MTA, teachers, classmates, family, enemies. There's no exceptions to the list of the people that God has called us to love. And in order to take part in the life that we were made for, which brings this great fulfillment, it requires a life bent in love towards the entire world. So, in view of that, what in how you currently look at your life, how do you measure success in your life? Like, is success you building something really cool, achieving something, getting recognition, building a reputation and a name for yourself that people are impressed with you? When you look at just the day-to-day of your life, what makes for a successful day or a week? Is it keeping the diet, going to the gym, doing homework, getting the good grade that you're trying to get, working hard, getting the pat on the back from your bosses at work? Like when you go through a day and at the end of the day, you're just like, okay, that was a good day. What's the main thing that you're looking at? What this demands of us, what God is saying here is that your purpose above anything in life, all of the other purposes are towards this end, loving people. Do you view this as the greatest obligation on your life? Do you view that as the measure of success, how well you love people? It's like when I look at my life, I have been way quicker to get frustrated with how people are failing to love me than seeing my own lack of love in my own heart. You know that thing people say is like, we judge other people by their actions, but by ourselves, we judge our motives, right? It's like, well, the reason I'm not loving is because I got this going on and they did that and that and that, but they didn't do that for me. That's what I'm fixated on, right? Like so many of us, we don't in a day-to-day way factor in how well we're loving people as the test of really where we're at in life, where we're at in our relationship with God. But it's what we were made for. Let's turn to the love chapter, the most famous chapter on love in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You could pause there. So what this is saying here is this. Those other things, I think we would be much quicker to measure ourselves by, to measure where we are in life, right? If I have faith, I'm going through stuff, but I know God's got me and he's going to see me through. If I'm prophesying, if you're seeing literally the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work through your life, it's like, wow, that person is really killing it in God's eyes. What God is saying in that moment is, to me, it's nothing. Why? We know the Bible says this, God is love. God defines himself, his measurable quality that he reveals himself to the world as is, he is love. So as Christ followers, with all of the other things that we're trying to figure out in life, please let this hit your heart in some way today. Like what your life is measured by is how you are loving people, the hard people, That in a city like New York, how easy is it to not view people as objects of our love, right? People are in the way. People are nuts. If you see somebody smiling at you in New York, they're either a tourist or they're a pervert. There's never any reason to make eye contact with somebody who is not at your job or living in your house if you live in New York. It doesn't even matter if they're a cashier. They're not a person. They're just a talking touchscreen that you just get what you want from, right? It's so easy with the amount of people that we're surrounded by. We don't view them as I am obligated. The reason why I am here on earth is so that I can love you and show you Jesus through my life. Let's look at that last verse. This is crazy. If I give all I possess to the poor, everything, every cent in your account, every object that you own, if you give all of that away, as amazing of a sacrifice as you could give apart from dying for somebody, and give over your body to hardship that you may boast, but you don't have love, you gain nothing. So what does that say? It's like a lot of times, so what that shows us is that love is not just an external action, it's also an attitude of our heart, right? You can literally give everything you have, but it not be from love and it not be for the person. You can give everything you have. You could do the most drastic gesture and it still in some way be self-serving. Have you guys ever seen those situations where people are like nice, but they're using it as like psychological warfare so that they don't get played? It's like if somebody's fighting with somebody and they want to have the upper hand so that they can like hold it over them even harder, and they like give them something or they say something in a certain way, and then they come later and it's very clear like they didn't do that because they love that person. They did that because they love themselves, right? It's very possible to do a beautiful right thing for an absolutely selfish, loveless reason. And what God is saying is that brings and merits nothing. So our life is measured. Our purpose, our calling is to love. So are there any exceptions? Are there any situations? So in our culture, right, what we would say is I have this person who, this is a relationship where you're stealing life from me. So I don't need to love you. Why would I love you if you don't love me, right? So if people don't love me, that means that I don't have to love those kinds of people, right? Jesus says, even sinners, even people who don't have the Spirit of God living inside of their heart, they love people who love them. But what I say is, love your enemies in the same way that I've loved you. So people who've sinned against us, people who have it out for us, does that give us a pass where we don't have to love them? Nope. Does me going through something, does me having storms in my life and challenging things that I'm trying to figure out, does that absolve me from having to follow this commandment? Nope. In every day, in every season, the standard and calling that God has placed on our lives is to love people. There's no exceptions. It is our calling, it's our purpose, and it is the place of greatest blessing. But we all know it is not an easy thing to do. When you think of people in your life, when you think of moments where you're just cooked, you feel burnt out, it's like, so even in these moments, this is my purpose, that I have to keep on loving people. Even if I try to do that, I feel like I'm gonna die. Like, how is that even possible, that I can love people that don't fill me or refresh me? Or how do I love people when my life is going crazy and I've got my own things at home that I'm gonna figure out, I need to figure out? How can I be externally focused when internally my life is a mess? God is calling me to love people despite all of that? How? So how do we love people? Hard people through hard situations. This is what the world would say to that. I'm sure a lot of you have heard this, and I'm sure maybe a couple of you believe it. Bible says that, definitely not the Bible says this. The culture says this. You can't love people until you learn how to love yourself, right? Some people even point to the Bible. They'll say where Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What they would say is, well, what Jesus is saying there is you can't love your neighbor until you learn how to love yourself, right? Why do people say that? A lot of people believe that. So there must be something true in the middle of this, right? What I think people rightly identify is when you're needy, when you're broken, When you have horrible insecurity, self-esteem, when you feel absolutely burnt out and broken, it's like, how can you love somebody when you are on empty like that, right? That idea of, you know, you can't love people until you learn how to love yourself. It's that idea of, well, if you're on a plane, you can't put somebody else's mask on until you get your mask on first. If you're pouring out from your bucket, how can you pour out if your bucket's empty? You need to make sure it's filled before you can give anything. How can you give if you haven't taken and gotten anything for yourself? What the world ultimately says is that the way that we can be healthy and not toxic in our relationships is when we prioritize ourselves, when we have high esteem for ourselves so that we don't allow ourselves to get played, we don't have these toxic, clingy things, and when we are self-caring, taking care of our needs so that we have something to give, right? The world says the only way that you can be healthy and loving in relationships is if you're making sure you get yours. I think the truth in that is, yes, trying to love people when you have absolute chaos and emptiness and brokenness and self-hatred and chaos going through your mind, it is impossible, right? Because what this is saying is you can even give everything you have, but if it's not coming from a loving heart, it's nothing. So if I have this chaos and craziness inside of me and I'm trying to love people, like it's not even fully the real thing. Love, I think a good definition here for love is this. It is desiring and actively pursuing the best for somebody through self-sacrifice, right? So it's the heart, it's my desires as well as my actions. So if my heart and my desires are so broken and out of whack, how can I actually do that? It's a very fair point, I think. But here is the issue with it. The world with that prescription and answer, this is the way that you fill your bucket. It's like without God, then yes, that does make sense. Without God, if there isn't a God, then yes, I need to try to find the things in this world that will fill my bucket. Without God, then the answer to my self-hatred is trying to figure out how to love myself. If I hate myself and it's causing all of this crazy chaos and whatever, then I have to start gassing myself up and taking pictures of myself, feeling myself. And the more I look at it, I stare at it really hard. And I'm like, oh, I actually am a baddie. That's what's going to get me to the right mental space where I can be healthy and have healthy relationships. Many people, maybe even here, believe. I counsel people week in and week out. So many people come. And when I say, what's your biggest issue? People say, I just don't love myself enough. If I just thought of myself highly enough, I would take care of myself more. I'd be healthier. I would be the best version of myself that I could be, and my issues would disappear. So the issue with this is that if there's no God, then yeah, let's hope that that's the answer, right? But we're all trying that answer, and it's not working. Like I was watching, I don't even know how it happened, but like my son will just grab the controller and like put on different things, and before we know it, like Japanese Tiny Desk concerts were on my YouTube the other day. And I'm just looking at him and he's just kind of like bopping to this Japanese music. And this Japanese guy was like, the answer to everything that you feel, it's the love inside of you. It's there. You just need to get it and explore it. And if you discover what's already in you, you'll be, and I'm like, dang, so we already got that in Japan? Like this idea, which is working horribly in America, we're sending throughout the world and more people are buying into it. That the answer to my issues is something that I can find in the world and in myself. There's an assumption in that, that your opinion of yourself could somehow cast out the shame and lack of peace you have in your identity. There's a belief in that if I could just think of myself highly enough, I'll finally get to this place where I'll be settled with myself. It's possible, is it? If I just do all of the self-care things that I need to do and prioritize that, then I'll be healthy. I'll do more hobbies and I'll meditate more and I'll take more mental health days where I watch Netflix for 13 hours. And the more I do that, then I'm gonna find rest. It's like, is there real rest in that? Gassing yourself up, trying to hold yourself in higher esteem as you're trying to convince yourself that you're this thing that you hope you are. Maybe there's some temporary relief in that, but you know there's no peace in it. looking to the world, exploring all of these options, having as many hobbies, trying to be as interesting of a person and whatever. Be as mindful as you want. There's no real rest in that. This is actually the message that Jesus came to bring that cuts through the culture of the day and cuts through our culture here today. That the solutions that we are looking to for our identity, for the rest that our souls are longing for, that we find these little temporary moments of relief. And I'm like, well, because it felt good that one time, I just need to go harder and harder into it. But then the harder you go into it, the more unfulfilled you are. The message of Jesus is found in this next verse. Let's put up, you could skip actually past the 1 Corinthians. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. So what this message is saying is this. God loves you. You were made for love. You're right about that. That longing that you have in your soul, looking to all of these things in the world, all these relationships, seeking validation, it's an appetite that's there that you can't get rid of. It exists in every culture, in every people group throughout time. We yearn to be loved. Why? It's an appetite that points to the real thing that we were made for, which is the love of God. And God, in his love, sent his son to come. Another verse says, be an atonement for our sins. Deal with the evil and the sin that we've done, which separates us from having access to his love. He came and did all of that so that through Jesus, that last verse, we might live through him. What does live mean in that context? It's not just biological life, it's spiritual life. A way to think of it is it's freedom and liberation from spiritual death. What spiritual death do you experience in your life today? Death, the Bible connects, the Bible says that a mind governed by our flesh, by our sin nature, is death. But a mind governed by his spirit, settled by his love, is life and peace. The death that we live with, the death that we experience, the traumas we've gone through, the ways that that causes us to view ourselves, our life, the self-hatred, the anxiety, the fear over the future, the insecurity, all of that is spiritual death. And what this verse says is, God loves you so much that he sent his son so that that death would become life. God is not interested in keeping you in death in any area of your life. He's not disinterested. He's not happy to see you stuck in death. He's proven that he's not happy because he went to the extreme of coming in human flesh, living a mocked, despised, pain-filled, rejected life, dying brutally, mercilessly, so that in our death and through his death, we could have life. God has come to bring life to every area of death in your life, without exception. There's not a need that you have that he hasn't come to fill. There's not a problem you have that he's not the solution to. The love of God is what you were made for. It's what your heart is searching for through all of these things in this world, which don't work. And it is the only thing that can resolve the issues and death and pain and brokenness of your soul. Let's look at this next verse. Jesus, before a crowd on the last day of the Passover, says this. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. So what this is saying is this. That empty bucket that you have, that you're just scooping this fast evaporating water to try to fill. It's like you're going to all these things in the world and you're just trying to go faster and faster and hoping that somehow the bucket's just gonna get higher and higher. And you're realizing it's not filling and I'm empty and I'm experiencing this spiritual death. Jesus came to bring life to that death. Jesus came to not only give you a little bit of water, he came to bring to your bucket rivers that overflow. Not just where you get slight relief from the death that you're facing. He came to bring all things and make them new. There's not a single area where when Jesus is in his right place, rivers are not overflowing. Jesus doesn't fill half the barrel. He always overflows it. If you have a half barrel, then you don't have the full Jesus. Jesus has come so that your neediness, so that that brokenness, that spiritual death that makes it impossible for you to actually love people because you're still trapped in yourself. He came to fill you, to overflow, so you're no longer trapped in yourself. You have what you were made for. You have what you were need. And now you're overflowing into the world around you. The only way you can truly love is through God's love. Real love, you don't have. Real love, you don't find in this world. The love of this world is about what you can do for me. It's all conditional, right? How many relationships in this room were you sitting there and after 2 weeks and you never even had a conversation about, you don't even know each other's middle names and you're saying, I love you, right? And oh, it felt crazy. I had feelings I never felt before. I'd never felt love like that. It's like, was that really love? Because 2 weeks later, he cheated on you. A year later, you guys were broken up and it ended horribly. It's like, was that love? Or was that emotional dependence and neediness and intense emotion? Do you realize based on this definition that we're saying here, intense emotion is not love. Love has to do with desire, but it's proven in action. The love that we have in this world is all about, what do you do for me? I love how you make me feel. I love how I feel loved by you. But the moment that I stop feeling loved by you, I don't love you. How can I love you when you're not filling my bucket? What Jesus is saying is, in the same way that I have loved you, love each other, love the world. How is that possible? Because the overflowing rivers of water that fill our soul, that fill our bucket, free us from needing other people to fill it. I'm no longer going into relationships needy. Some people, you've been in Sanctus for like years and you still come afterwards, you go up into the room and you just look and you're like, these Christians. See, nobody talks to me. I even tried smiling and she looked away. See, they're all the same. Nobody here loves me. Nobody cares. You're so needy. You can't get over yourself because Jesus is not meeting the needs of your soul. Do you realize if Jesus was filling you with those rivers of living water to overflow, you wouldn't care whether people liked you or not. You could go to somebody, say, hi, my name's whatever. Hey, it's cool to meet you. And then they like awkwardly walk away and it's clear they don't like you and you lost no peace. You're not having an identity crisis. You're not like, oh, I'm gonna go home and be replaying that moment until 4 a.m. I'm so cringe. It's like you're tormented because because you're not getting what you need from God, you're trying to get what you need from them. And it's never going to work. And as long as you're living that way, you're going to be a porcupine for the rest of your life. My dad always says that. It's like, you want love, but then when people try to get close, your spikes just go up. Because it's like, well, do you really love me? And are you really going to be able to meet my needs? And you can't be free with an open heart loving people because you don't have God's love filling your heart. The Bible says we love because he loved us. That's talking about our relationship with God and horizontally, our relationship with people. I can only love people in a real way when I am living with a heart that's satisfied in the love of God. If not, I'm approaching relationships needy, needing them to think something about me for me to have peace, needing people, trying to constantly control people's perceptions of me, instead of just being able to go in with this openness and this guard down. I don't need to live with a guard up because you can't take more than what God is already giving me. It's a nonstop overflow. So even if you take some of my water that was splashed on you, trust me, there's a lot more where that came from, right? So practically, what we're saying here is this. If, you know what, I want to pull up, I want to make sure I get the specific verse here. Can you put on the, yeah, I think it's just the next one actually, 1 John 4:7. So look at this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So essentially what this is saying is this. You can't be in through faith experience of God's love and it not automatically drive you to begin to start loving other people. A later verse in this says, if you claim to love God and you don't love people, you're really lying. It's like God's love can't be in your heart and not overflow. You're not really connected to this source if it's not naturally freeing you from living a self-focused life. He is so good, so sufficient, so everything, the answer to every need that you have, that when you're living in him, life truly becomes about this purpose of how do I overflow into every life around me? That is your purpose in life. That's your calling. But then where do we go with that? God has to get into the middle of your need. If his love doesn't begin to start filling and bringing those areas of death to life, then you can try to love and it's going to be the guy giving everything he has, maybe even though you're not going to do that. And even then, it's not going to be the real thing because your heart is still shut down and selfish. What are the needs that you have today? What are the needs that drive you to live a self-focused, self-preserving life? What is it about your identity, about your fear over the future? What is it that drives you to continue to make decisions and live for the created things instead of the creator? Those decisions point back to a very real need in your soul that Jesus came to fill. Do you know what those things are in your heart? God loves you so much. This is what's so beautiful. You don't have to just spend the next 3 years of your life slowly figuring it out, hoping that maybe eventually you'll get to the bottom of it. He loves you. He's promised that he's going to lead you into all truth, convict you. And so if you're hearing this and you say, this is the truth, I want this, and I am settling, I'm looking to the world, I'm living in need because I'm not looking to him to meet those needs, he's going to show you exactly what the things are that you're fighting against him. You know, a lot of times in our life, the reason we don't feel loved by God is because we have these demands that we place on him. If you love me, then you're going to do this. Oh, he's not doing it, so he doesn't love me. It's like, do you realize you're actually not embracing and trusting in God's love when you do that? You're rejecting it. You're saying, God, I determine to you what I'm made for and what I want. And if you don't meet those things, then you don't really love me. As long as that's the case, you'll never know God. You'll never be able to experience his love. As long as you give him this box and demand that he fits into it and say, if you love me, you're going to do this. And if you don't, well, that's that. I'm going to keep doing what I want and go what I think is going to solve these issues. That's pride. That's you believing you know more than God. It hasn't worked for you. It's not going to work. So maybe what you need to do is say, God, forgive me for holding these standards on you over the kind of love that I want you to give me. Lord, help me to embrace who you are to my needs. Because here's the beautiful thing. The reason why we can be commanded to love people. Well, how can I love people? Because I need God's love to fill me first. Well, he's not hiding that love. He's not saying you'll only be able to get it after 6 years of therapy and whatever. No, it's available to you now if you bring that need to his love and trust him. Turn from the things that you're trusting in and trust in him. He wants to fill you. The reason why he can command us to do that is because he's not withholding from us the resource, which is his love, which allows us to do it. So for a lot of us today, God, this is my prayer through this message. There is a ministry of God's love that he wants to bring to your heart, to the specific needs that you have, to the specific areas where you are chasing fulfillment, clarity, answers everywhere but him. He's saying tonight, I'm what you were made for. I get it. Your heart doesn't want to trust me. It wants to go in other directions. You want to look for love in all these other places. But here's what I'm inviting you to do tonight. Bring me your heart. bring me your sinful heart that doesn't want to trust me and doesn't want my love. I'm going to help you get this thing right, but you've just got to bring where you are to me. I am going, if you hear anything tonight, it's this. God is committed to you. God delights in you. God desires for you to know and be set free and brought from death to life in every area where there is spiritual death in your life. The how do I know that? Look at the cross. Like, do you understand what God did for you? Do you understand the price that he paid so that his love can break through the death in your life? God has proven his love. He is in love with you. You are the object of his love. And as you take your heart and turn to him and say, Jesus, forgive me for not trusting in your love. I trust you. I want to stand on your love. I want to believe what your love means to these needs of my life. I need you to do it, but I'm going to do it by your grace. As you begin that process, you are going to watch as these rivers of living water begin to overflow from you. We're going to pray, but one last just practical thought to go with it. I want you to think of the most challenging relationships that you have in your day-to-day life right now. The people that are the hardest to love, that you have zero interest in loving. We have to remember, God has commanded you to love them. And that it's not just his commandment because he wants to see you suffer. In loving them is actually where you come alive. It's where you live in real life in his love. As you look at that relationship, I want you to think, what need am I trying to protect by not loving them? What thing in me that if I begin to love them, if I give them this power over my life, if I go out and extend and they might reject, they might whatever, but what is it in my heart that I'm trying to preserve and protect by not loving them? You need to see that. And then what you need to see is, now who is Jesus to this need? These things that we fight to protect and cover, that we don't want anybody to be able to break or take from us. God is like, let me show you who I am to that. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to set you free from letting people control your behavior. You will be free in my love. Your needs will be met and you will overflow into the world around you. So your practical, and you can begin to play, your practical thing, even as you go into this week, think of that relationship or some of those relationships that are so hard. What needs in your heart do those things fight against that you try to protect? And then you need to get alone with God and be like, God, who are you to this need in me? We have to get so good at seeing and reminding our soul who Jesus is to the needs of our soul. That's how we fight. When we begin to get hot, turn red, lose perspective, get angry, get consumed, self-preservation. The only thing that can break through and set us free is seeing who Jesus is to that need of our soul. God loves you. He's going to lead you. He's going to show you what his love means for your life, your identity, your security in a way you've never understood it. He's going to give you the power to understand this as you open your heart in faith and just say, Jesus, here I am. I trust you. I was made for your love. Let your love satisfy my heart. Show me what this means so I can trust you more. So let's just close our eyes right now. I know this applies to all of us in different ways. What is the greatest need of your soul today? What is bringing the most spiritual death into your life? Jesus's love, seeing what it means to that thing, trusting in it, leads to a peace and an overflowing experience. His love is the answer to whatever that is. Own it. Say to the Lord, God, I believe today only you can meet this need. Maybe I don't even fully believe that. Maybe I don't fully believe that your love is as good as he's saying it is. but you're speaking to me, you're convicting me. Jesus, help me to believe in your love tonight. Show me your love. I trust in you, help me to trust you more. Open my eyes to see what your love means for my life, my identity, my future, my shame. Lord, I want to know the freedom that your love has come to bring me. Take this death and through your love, bring it to life.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. To connect with us, visit our ministry page at brooklyntabernacle.org, or you can follow us on our Instagram at sanctusnyc.